We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning and welcome to Jolo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Dan Dibley to my left, booking tee times with Kalena Azabuki, who's on his way out of the studio. Lo Neal, organized, shockingly.
Thank you. Kalena gave you a shout out saying, what's up with Joe? I said, man, you know.
What, in terms of golfing?
Yeah, that's what he's saying. Just saying, bro.
I don't go slumming, son.
Wow. Oh. You and Townie. You and Townie.
Really, Townie's the same way?
Townie, oh, why do I want to play with you in those goat tracks you play? All right, Townie, here's your update, you know? Yeah, Townie's all about, I play at the finest country clubs known to man. All right, Townie, you're out.
I am, I'm definitely into come play. The kid is now 3.5 months old. We're organized to a point where we can make it through days. We aren't living on pins and needles.
If someone
takes a shower, I'm ready to work that back into the system. Plus, we get to sleep tonight. Yep. We get, what, 8-9 days off?
That's right.
I'm sure Dibs has 8-9 tee times scheduled for the next 8-9 days.
That's right.
We're queuing them up right now. We're lining them up and knocking them down.
Yeah, I can't wait because I want to get out with you, Joe. Last time, my last outing, which I didn't have a fare very well. I was really disappointed.
It was a scramble, and those were rental clubs.
Yeah, they were. And it was just we had an accident out there, and it was just my mind wasn't set at the right time.
That's not true. The accident part's true. I find it hard. Yeah. I saw you immediately go back to your drink. So don't give me the, you were all rattled.
I wasn't drinking no purple. I wasn't drinking no syrup.
He did react. A woman fell off a cart and hit her head. Lo, ask what you would do in a situation like that. Lo immediately sprinted over, picked her up, set her down on the grass, was ordering people call 911. I'll be honest, for all the grief I give him, if there's going to be an emergency, I want him next to me. He reacted immediately.
No doubt. No doubt.
You, however, did not. I did not.
I at least.
Everyone else there did not. Looked around. Wait, what's going on? Are we still teeing off here?
Yeah. What's wrong with this on the ground. Everyone's just looking. Oh, my God. I'm like, come on.
I did take my ball and my tee out of the ground, though, for a moment.
Respectful.
Quick 90 seconds. And then our coworker, Tim Jeffries. Are we playing or not?
Yeah.
All right, Timmy, we're
Jeffries
playing.
Is not the guy you want next to you in the event of an emergency. He will continue with his round, no questions asked. All right, we got a big morning to get to here. We got 2 hours left. We're going to take a lot of your calls. Bill Schoening, radio play-by-play voice of the Spurs, set to join us in a few moments. Gary St. Jean at 8:30, tickets at 8:45, Bob Melvin at 9:30. But right now, here's Dibs with your update.
And the Warriors are looking to close out San Antonio tonight. Joe, game four, Western Conference Finals. Golden State leads at 3-0. Kawhi Leonard with his ankle issue, David Lee, his knee problem, both listed as doubtful for the Spurs, who are facing a must-win. Last night, the Cavaliers had their first postseason blemish.
5 seconds remaining. Bradley. Bounces home! 1/10 of a second remaining!
What a shot by Bradley as Boston wins it 111-108. Game four coming up tomorrow. Game four tonight, Western Conference, 4:30 here on 95.7 The Game. Story number two, Giants dropped the finale of a 3-game series in St. Louis, 8-3. They're 7 games below 500 in Chicago today to face the Cubs. Ty Block against John Lackey. Story number three, A's dropped the finale of their series against the Red Sox, 12-3 the final. They did win 3 of 4 from the Bo Sox. Andrew Triggs took the loss yesterday. A's off today. They host the Miami Marlins for the first of two tomorrow. The update brought to you by Bank of the West. In a changing world, you need a local bank with global strength. Bank of the West. Bill Schoening, Spurs play-by-play voice, joins us next. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the Warriors, 95.7 The Game.
Good stuff, Dibs, and we'll jump right into that. The radio play-by-play voice of the San Antonio Spurs. You can follow him on Twitter at Spurs Radio. He's been gracious enough to join the program before, and he's doing it again. Bill Schoening with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Bill. Before we jump into game four tonight, how surprised were you at last night's developments in Cleveland?
I really was surprised. I turned the game off, to be honest with you guys, because it's like, oh, we've seen this before, right? So I turned it back in. I tried to, time it to where I would get it with about 4 or 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And then, oh, okay, now I can watch this. So I was a little bit surprised, especially without Isaiah Thomas, Boston coming back. I thought that Scott did a really good job coaching last night. So we'll see what happens now. But obviously, that was a big emotional win for Boston.
As we transition to tonight's Game 4, tip time, 6 p.m. Pacific, right here on 95.7 The Game, it's the Spurs and the Warriors. Let's start with the health update. Kawhi Leonard, is he going to be able to play tonight, or is he going to be out once again?
He's listed as doubtful. Pop said yesterday that it's just going to be tough to put him back in, you know, because at least right now, they're thinking about the long-term future as well. That's one of the many, many things that they have to look at in terms of his future. And right now, if he's not 100% ready to go, it's really going to be tough to ask him to go out there and play in this kind of a situation. Now, of course, David Lee is out as well, so he's listed as doubtful with his knee injury from Game 3, and of course, Tony Parker's already out. So, facing the Warriors is tough enough when you're at full strength, but when you're missing two former Finals MVPs, one of your key players off the bench, it's definitely an uphill struggle. But you know what? As Herm Edwards once said, guys, that's why they play the game. They'll go out there and roll it out and see what happens. But the Spurs have a lot of guys who will go out there and play hard and try to make it difficult for the Warriors. But they realize it's really, really difficult right now.
No one playing harder than 39-year-old Manu Ginobili, who I believe is the only player who may precede you in San Antonio. How much has he meant to this team, not only in this playoff series, but for his whole unbelievable Hall of Fame run?
Well, it's been great. You know, I'm so happy because he kind of got off to a very slow start in the playoffs this year against Memphis, but he's really kind of rebounded and had some really good vintage Manu-type games. He's actually in his 15th year. I'm in my 16th season, so I'm fortunate enough to say that I'm the only person who's ever seen every game he's played in the NBA. It's been a real blessing for me to have been able to, watch every game, whether it's preseason, regular season, playoffs, and he plays the same way every game, even in a preseason game. You know, he's diving for loose balls. I think Pop had a talk with him at one point saying, look, it's October 10th and we're playing the Hawks. You don't have to worry about diving on the floor right now and giving up your body. But that's just the way he goes every night, goes all out.
Well, you know that Kawhi Leonard is a long-term stay here, what he brings to the team. Another guy they brought in last year, and Aldridge, and thinking this guy's going to be a long-term solution for their, with the emerging, with the leaving of Timmy Duncan. How long do you think his stay there? Is this a year now? Do you think they look to move him, or is this something you think that this guy's play can continue to grow and he end up staying there?
Well, he's got two more years left on his contract, Lowe, so I think that he's still going to be around. Now, obviously, he's a guy that is very much a rhythm-type player. When he gets in a good rhythm, he's very capable of scoring over 30 points a game, as he did in Game 6 during the Houston series. But, he's also capable, when he gets out of rhythm, to have a 6-for-19 night, and the Spurs need to try to, make him comfortable, get him in good spots to where he's in a good rhythm. But I think that, he really misses Kawhi Leonard being out there because the defense can really focus a lot more on him when Leonard's not there to provide another guy out there that draws double teams. Leonard's really been an improvement as far as his passing is concerned. So he's learning on the fly. Kawhi, I'm talking about now, learning how to pass out of double teams since defenses are now really geared to stopping him. And that really opens up for a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge. So without Kawhi out there, it's been tough on Aldridge because defenses have been able to collapse on him. And obviously the Warriors have done a very good job in the series of doubling him and bringing him different looks, different guys doubling him, different angles. The Warriors, give credit to them. They played very good defense on Aldridge so far in the series.
The radio play-by-play voice of the San Antonio Spurs, Bill Schoening with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. A bit of a derail here for a second, but one of the things I love the most about play-by-play guys, you guys are some of the world's best storytellers. You have anecdotes for virtually every situation. However, what happens when the Spurs and the Warriors, for example, get together and you run into a guy like Tim Roy? There's only so much storytelling that can be told in one space.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I told Tim that our marquee matchup was going to be me against him. Maybe I could out-broadcast him for a night. We could extend the series. We'll see what happens. But Tim's one of the good guys. Of course, he's been around for a long time. Of course, I've had a chance to visit with Jim Barnett quite a bit now because Jim's doing the color, during the playoffs with Tim. So from our perch up there in the corner of the AT&T Center, I get a chance to hang out with those guys. Really good guys. I'm happy for them. I'm also happy for the success of Steve Kerr. Hopefully, Steve's back. We'll start to feel better. But Mike Brown, of course, has been part of our organization in the past as well. And Mike was even with us last year traveling with us a little bit. So a really good guy. So you hate to see from the Spurs perspective all the things that have happened, especially with the injuries, to Kawhi Leonard and Tony Parker. But at the same time, I know that Pop is very happy with the success that Mike Brown and Steve Kerr have had.
Late in the ball game, Bill, Dwayne Dedmon hit Steph Curry on a screen that looked to be a little bit of a cheap play. Has that received any coverage there in San Antonio? And has there been any response from Dedmon or Popovich about this incident that has been seen as somewhat of an assault on Steph Curry out here?
Oh, I haven't seen that. I have not seen anything written about that. I'm sure it's getting more play there than it is here. But there was a sign comparing Santa Ana to Zaza in game three, which I thought was pretty interesting. You know, Santa Ana, of course, was the president and general from Mexico that fought against Texas in the War of Independence. And,
wow.
That whole thing, the Alamo, it was Santa Ana's army that crushed the guys at the Alamo. So I don't think Zaza is, enemy number one, public enemy number one in San Antonio. But, maybe he is, actually, after I saw that sign the other day. So, it's a very unfortunate incident, what happened in game one. And I don't think anybody wants to see anybody else get hurt. I really don't believe that. And it's a shame, that there might be a chippy play here or two that takes away from the series. And obviously the injuries have really kind of depleted the quality of the series. But, it's just the way it is. It's very unfortunate for the Spurs, the timing of it, because, Leonard obviously is a guy they lean on an awful lot. He's one of the top three players in the league in the MVP race. So, it's just a real tough loss to overcome.
No, it's been terrible, and Warrior fans, almost to a fan, would much rather have taken on San Antonio with them at their full complement. But once Kawhi got injured in the Houston series and then re-injured on David Lee's foot, there was really no way that he was going to be able to escape the series without injury.
Well, it's a real shame, because I think that we really would have been in for a great, epic series, guys. I really do believe that. We'll never know, of course, because of the way things happen. But I really felt like going in, even without Tony Parker, the Spurs would have a good chance at giving the Warriors a very, very good series. Now, of course, I look at the experts around the league. A lot of people didn't think that. I think all of the ESPN guys who were polled all picked the Warriors. Maybe it's because I see the whole world through silver and black glasses, because I've been the play-by-play guy for 16 years with these guys. But I really did believe that the Spurs were very capable of making a very, very good series out of this.
Bill Schoening, the play-by-play voice of the San Antonio Spurs. Follow him on Twitter at Spurs Radio. He is one of the absolute best in the business. Bill, if for some reason we don't get a chance to talk to you again this season, thank you for being so gracious with your time throughout the year, and we very much look forward to catching up with you again soon. Good luck on the call tonight.
Thanks, guys.
That was some true gamesmanship between you and him, Dibs.
Two chess match.
Two professionals.
Nice.
Firing shots at each other, but not yelling and screaming like I would have done.
Trying to keep it cordial. Yeah. Well, I'll say this, Joe, and this is something that really bothers me about this postseason, and it's the narrative that Zaza Pachulia injured Kawhi Leonard. If you pay attention to what's actually gone on, you see that Kawhi Leonard was injured in Game 5 against Houston. What happened in Game 6? How did Kawhi play? Oh, that's right. He couldn't play. Because why? He had hurt his ankle in Game 5. Skip ahead to Game 1 where he steps on David Lee's foot and hurts his ankle. But no, Zaza Pachulia, dirty player. Let's send threats to this guy's kids at their school because Zaza hurt Kawhi. No, Kawhi had been hurt. He might have been the straw that broke the camel's ankle, but he had been injured multiple times before. That's something that pisses me off, Joe. This narrative that Zaza hurt Kawhi when he was already hurt.
00 David Lee. Definitely secret agent for the Warriors there. That's a great take. Lo, your thoughts on that? Dibs coming in pretty strong right now. 8:15 in the morning. He's pretty strong.
He really was strong, and he just said, David Lee hurt your own guy. It was nice how you slid that across the bow there.
Lee looked like he didn't even know what happened. He was sitting there. He got stepped on. It's almost like he looked at Kawhi like, what are you doing, man? You're scuffing my Nikes.
And Joe's right with the gamesmanship. I mentioned, of course, the Houston injury, and I mentioned the David Lee. I didn't mention the Zaza. But
no, you left
Zaza. Of course not.
Gee Willikers, what a shame. Every Warrior fan to a person would like them to be at their full strength. That's a bit of a lie.
I guarantee you, though, the league is going to find that incident happened with Steph Curry.
Dwayne Dedmon, 4:35 to go in the fourth quarter. If you haven't seen it, I believe we've retweeted on our social media. Follow us on Twitter at 957thegame.
I definitely is going to get that. He's going to get that package. He's going to get fined. That was deliberate.
Bill didn't see the play. Maybe we'll have to make sure Bill's following our
San
Twitter
Antonio
page.
There's no coverage of it.
Right.
But again, from the perspective, What's our perspective of the Pachulia play? It's clean. He's just closing out. He didn't mean anything. On the other end of the equation, you saw what happened with the Kevin Durant injury in Washington. We went nuts. We wanted fines. We wanted suspensions. It's all about perspective. Where are you located and what do you personally have invested? For us, it's clean with Pachulia. For Spurs fans, Pachulia just ruined their season. We look at the Dedmon situation. We think that's unbelievably dirty. Spurs fans look at it and go, no, it's just a good hard play. Steph Curry needs to buck up. He's not that big. He tends to go down a lot easier. That's the perspective. That leads me into this. This is the reason, perspective, the sole reason why LeBron will never win the consensus vote over Michael Jordan, because we've been hearing this for weeks. You want to know why? Because Jordan didn't deal with a media culture LeBron deals with now. And as a result of that, LeBron doesn't stand a chance. Here's what I mean by that. The last few weeks, you've had a lot of very talented TV and radio people around the country who have been all in with this assertion that LeBron James is a better basketball player than Michael Jordan. Now, it's a great topic for radio, for TV, for newspapers, for blogs, because it's a debate and it gets people going. People are very passionate about it, so it wins. And then you hammer that point home over and over. The pro-LeBron crowd has to answer for last night. That's how it works. If you're going to be pro-LeBron, you're going to have a situation like last night where he scores 11 points, doesn't score a single bucket over the final 16-31 of that game. The Cavs lose. He has a fan tossed for heckling him, and then he gets into it with a reporter afterwards because he's miffed, right? You have to defend that. So what's going to happen today is that the LeBron supporters are going to come out, and they are just going to annoy you. They are going to annoy me. They are going to annoy all of us with nitpicking of Jordan and propping up of James. That's what it's going to be, because they want to defend their position, because that's their job. As a result, we resent the position entirely. We get tired of hearing it. We think it's garbage. It's mostly annoying. And as a result, we don't even want to consider James in the discussion. This isn't to make the case for James. It's just when you get so annoyed and overwhelmed by this take over and over and over again, then you see what happened last night, and then rather than own up and say, you know what, that's true. LeBron has now had 6 playoff games with less than 15 points. Jordan had 0. Instead of just owning it, it's going to be, well, LeBron played more playoff games, and Jordan and the series against the Magic that no one ever wants to bring up, X, Y, Z. And as a result, James, with the way the media treats him both good and bad now, it just overwhelms people and annoys them to the point where they don't even want to give him consideration over Jordan because they're annoyed with his supporters. They're annoyed with his lawyers, so to speak. Am I on to something here? Because it tires me out listening to this, no matter what position I take.
Yeah, I always said, everyone asked me who do I take. It's Jordan. We know Michael Jordan, what he was able to do, the things, how he did it and went about it. Or I just think that LeBron James, here's a guy that everyone's seen around the league, came in when he's a youngster, and he's been a dominant player. Not to Jordan's caliber, but he did it in a different way. They have two different type of body styles. They have two different type of shooting. Everything about these guys are so opposite, polar opposite, but people yet and still want to compare them. You compare Michael to Kobe because they had the same body, the fluidity, all those different things. LeBron's big. He's just dominant. Physical specimen, great athlete, but no way you're going to take him over Jordan.
There's a very compelling case to be made for LeBron, believe it or not. There is a compelling case. It's not going to win over anyone, but it's not just simple trolling or simple hot taking. There is a very compelling case. The problem is that in situations like this, you're forced to defend your position, and you're going to do it in a manner that for a lot of people who might be on the fence, they're going to sit there and be like, you know what, man, he scored 11 last night. It was a Celtics team without Isaiah Thomas. You were at home. You were 16-point favorites. You had a 21-point lead. You did nothing. I don't want to hear you defending Jordan in this situation. I think it overwhelms people. I think it annoys people. I think it tires them out. And if they're on the fence with the decision, they probably just lean Jordan, because in Jordan's day, he didn't have this. He didn't have 35 different networks, 52,000 different blogs, all these radio stations, everyone going at it on this conversation left and right. It was more game analysis back then. It wasn't as hot takey. It wasn't as opinion-based. So he didn't have to deal with an era where people were constantly hammering home that he was better than Magic, or constantly hammering home that he was better than Russell or Wilt or West or whoever you want to compare him to. And as a result, people probably didn't resent it as much. Whereas now, you hear someone defending LeBron, it's like, man, get off it. Get off it for 5 minutes. I don't want to hear it after he scored 11 in game three at home against the Celtics without Isaiah Thomas when you had a 21-point third-quarter lead, Dibs.
And that's just the nature of where we are. You're right, Joe, about the social media and the instant analysis. And fortunately for LeBron, you get a chance to go out there and play another game tomorrow. And really, at the end of it, what, they're 10-1 in the postseason, two sweeps and a 2-1 lead with both wins coming on the road. It certainly isn't panic time for LeBron's camp. And I think you had the stat earlier that six times now he's had less than 15 points in a playoff game.
Correct.
Whereas Michael Jordan had zero of those things. We can compare numbers to numbers at the end of this, and what will ultimately come down to is how many titles. And if LeBron James can somehow get to six titles over the course of his 20-something, 25-year career, I mean, this guy might go for 20 years. He's so fit and he's so able to play point guard that he could just take his last 5 years and just distribute and decide he wants to be a 6'8" point guard in the Magic Johnson mold. So if he gets the six titles and Jordan's got six titles, then you'll be able to compare who actually was better.
Could you see there being a point where the consensus leans to LeBron James? Because a lot of this is based on era. Personally, at 36 years old, I grew up with Jordan. I watched Jordan change the game. I read the Jordan rules. I saw shoes become unbelievably popular because of Jordan. I watched him stick the tongue out. I watched him hit game winners. That was it for me. And with time, that lore grows. The mystique grows. You look back as a guy who never did anything wrong. He was just bigger than life. It's like when you go out and you catch a 18-inch whatever. I don't know. I don't do a lot of fishing. But over time, you come back, and it's bigger and bigger. Yeah. And then 20 years down the road, it was this 3-foot bass, I guess, that you hauled in. Right? That's how the story ends up growing over time.
I think when you look at these two gentlemen and you look at their body of work, the only way that LeBron James is going to catch him or even be mentioned in the same sentence, believe it or not, is to win this championship. I mean, you think about the odds that are against them, against the and they first got to take care of Boston, but playing the Dubs, you have three, maybe possibly four Hall of Fame guys on this Dub team, a team that's best three-point shooter that the game has ever seen, and possibly the second best three-point shooter in Klay Thompson. And then, oh, by the way, you got Kevin Durant and Draymond Green, meaner than the Junkyard Dog, and you have a deep bench, Livingston, all the different guys that you have there. I think this would help his case that you would hear if they could win that some kind of possible, if pull off the impossible and beat the Dubs. I think you'll start to continue to hear that echo. Is he better than Michael Jordan? It's always going to be a question, but I'm telling you right now, if he doesn't win this, you can't compare him to Jordan. He's a good player, a great player, always be a top five, but Jordan was just so smooth, like you said, what he was able to do for the game. He changed the game.
He benefited a lot from the era, too. There was a lot going on off the court with Michael Jordan. Yeah. Then today's day and age, that would have come public.
Sure.
And that would have changed a lot of people's ideas of Michael Jordan. He was lucky back then that TMZ and all that other stuff didn't exist to dive into everything, to report everything that was going on. I think more fairly, rather than compare him to Jordan, you should compare him to Kobe. They had an era that crossed over. Let's get to the point where we establish LeBron's better than Kobe before we put LeBron up against Michael Jordan, right? To be the man, you got to beat the man. Well, you got to beat the number two to get up to the number one. Not necessarily saying Kobe's number two, but I think that's more apt. We'll ask Gary St. Jean about that and more next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
He's one of our favorites. That's the best way to bill him. Gary St. Jean with Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. St. Memorial Day weekend right around the corner. Summer is in the air. Can you dig it?
I love it. And you know what, guys? It's NBA Finals time after one more win.
Well, we're getting there. We'll get into the Warrior game tonight with you in a second, but I wanted to get your thoughts on what happened last night. How surprising to you to see the Cavs blow a 21-point second-half lead and lose it home to a Celtics team that was without Isaiah Thomas?
Now, I know my man Lowe will agree with me. I think this is applicable in all the pro sports. These guys they're playing against are NBA players, and when they have a big-time game, like those guys did in the second half, holding Cleveland 2 for 17 from three. Each one of those guys, whether it was Jarebko or all those guys, Smart, stepping up like that, Bradley. And, of course, Cleveland, you know, just kind of went through the motions. And so I would give the Boston effort a 10. I'd give Cleveland a 5. And that'll happen. That just happens in the playoffs.
Pop, you've been a coach. You've been there. You've seen it. You've been around St. Louis. What did you think about Stevenson? What kind of effort did he get those guys to perform and to go in there kind of like David and Goliath to slay Goliath? Was that just unbelievable?
You know, he's a young guy. He's got an inner confidence to him. When he speaks, people listen. He has content. I give you an example. That last play that he drew up after the timeout, they inbounded to Smart, and they ran like a pick-the-picker action where they had a slice off the baseline, and then Bradley came up off the down screen from Horford. And Cleveland blew it with Shumpert and Smith. They blew the switch. And so he's wide open for the shot. It kind of goes around the rim and in. And again, post-game there, Stevens, you know, just very businesslike. You know, Lo, you think of the fire and brimstone guys maybe you played for. Some were more professorial. This guy just has he resonates. He just has a way about him. I think he's one of the upcoming young coaches in the league.
That sure was a great play. That play design was unbelievable to get Avery Bradley the open three and the game winner. Gary St. Jean joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Looking at game four tonight in San Antonio, likely no Kawhi Leonard. David Lee most likely out as well. Are you looking for a big start to this game, Saint, trying to have the Warriors put it away before the first quarter's over?
You know, it's kind of like the game last night. I mean, you know, you got to take away their hope, especially when we're on the road. Get the crowd out of the game. So get off to a good start like the other night with JaVale McGee just playing unbelievable. And, you know, that's what happens when you're playing with four All-Stars out there. You know, he rolls to the basket. They said, "Ah, we're not going to guard him." Bada-boom, bada-boom, bada-boom. So he's laying him up and in. And, you know, that's what you're looking for again tonight, to get off to that good start. And really, I thought Kevin Durant was amazing, guys, in that third period especially. Wow, he was playing downhill. I want you to just think about the fact he's 7 feet. Look at his handle, his ability to just take it off the bounce. He is an amazing player.
Gary St. Jean with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Maybe not the breakout performance we've seen in the past, but Klay Thompson looked to get it going in game three. The talk of a slump, do you think that's behind us now? Is Klay starting to find that rhythm?
Yeah, I think so. And you know what? Guys, they're going to need all their firepower. We're going to have a healthy, locked-in Andre Iguodala. Remember 2 years ago in the finals, guarding LeBron, and, you know, all these guys are going to have to be ready. You know, he had a real down playoff game yesterday for him. But we're going to need Klay. We're going to need Andre. We're going to have to be playing our A game. That's how much respect I have for Cleveland.
As we look to game four tonight, do you think there's a moment in the locker room where the Warriors, maybe they don't even need to say it expressly to one another, but they acknowledge the fact that what happened in Cleveland last night could happen to them, and they use it as
Absolutely.
Motivation to make sure there are no slip-ups?
Hey, you know what? As a coach, you're preaching that all the time, be ready. Now, this isn't a rookie team. This is a real veteran team the Warriors have. But when that happens last night, you know, it's kind of like Steve Kerr and Mike Brown can look around the room, take a moment, just say, "Fellas, I told you this can happen." You know, it's not lip service. It really can happen. So, you know, we've got to take care of business tonight, and then, you know, this extended period of time off. And so I think these guys are going to come out, and, you know, we're setting records with the numbers of wins in a row and different guys stepping up different nights. And, you know, it's just been a great performance.
11-0 so far in the postseason. A chance for number 12 tonight. 4:30 Warriors warm-up here on 95.7 The Game. Steve Kerr, obviously a presence in San Antonio and certainly a factor. Any sense that maybe he'll take that next step and return to the bench? Or do you think that this arrangement will continue, Saint, with it working so well?
You know, I'm not hands-on, but listening to Monty Poole, I think we're going to probably see this carry out as we go forward. I don't know that everything went terrific for Steve, and the number one thing is his health. So we want him to get ready, and I mean, get right. And, you know, just to have him there, it's a big positive because he is the leader, and you're in the coaches' meetings. You're at practice. You're at the shoot-around. You're in the locker room at the game, before the game, halftime, post-game. So, you know, he's a really important piece to this whole equation. And, you know, I wish him nothing but the best.
Gary St. Jean brought to you by your Northern California Acura dealers. Did you see the play with 4:35 to go in the game? Dwayne Dedmon comes out to set the screen on Steph Curry, gets a little physical with him, throws a knee into Steph's knee. Steph hits the deck. No call from the official who was right in front of him. Some say very dirty. Some say hard basketball. Where do you land on that?
Playoff play, frustration by a team that's getting beat. It's a young player who I don't even think knows how to be physical. With that said, it didn't look good, but I'll let it pass because it is the playoffs.
So, anyone, moving forward, what would you like to see tonight from this Golden State team? Is you're going to see a Popovich get these guys to play? You think it's going to have some effect because they see Cleveland get a loss? So he said, hey, this young coach got these boys to play without their superstar. Yeah. Do you think Greg Popovich look at this and says, we don't have our star, but let's make this a well of a game tonight?
Well, look at Boston last night. Look at the last game against San Antonio. I love San Antonio's effort the last game. And that's indicative of the history of their franchise and the respect they have for each other. They'll come out and play the same way, you know, led by Manu Ginobili. He's been amazing. He's 39. And they'll bring it. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, I just think they're overmatched right now. The key for me is to sustain quality defense. But, guys, 21 turnovers the other night. And you still win the game by a good margin. But if they can keep those turnovers in the vicinity of 14, 15, you guys know in the Utah series they had three games in single digits. When they take care of the ball and share it, they're the best team in basketball.
Saint, it's a bit of a footnote based on how well this team has played throughout the postseason, but how about the rookie Patrick McCaw coming off the bench for this club? These are big spots against big teams and top-level talent. McCaw isn't flinching.
You know, I got to tell you, guys, there's an old saying, you can't teach experience. He's gaining invaluable experience. Just being involved and watching these great players that are above him getting ready to play and how everybody's more locked in, more focused. You understand the scouting report. You're really banged in on individuals' tendencies. Does he drive all the way right? Does he go left for his jump shot? What play does he get his most shots? What side of the floor does he like to operate on? You are really, really locked in. And he's getting experience just in terms of preparation. But then the way he played the other night was tremendous. And you know, when McCaw knocked down a couple, he had a corner three and he had a backdoor layup. And that's just great for these young guys. It's awesome.
And Klay Thompson appears to be stepping closer toward being back to what we expect from Klay Thompson. What did you see from him in Game 3 that encouraged you that maybe he's moving in the right direction, especially offensively?
No rush. Not saying, oh my gosh, I got to find a shot here. You know, knocking down the three threes in balance, Dibs, a couple drives. And, of course, I always like to share this. You need to lock in on him on the defensive end. Watch him. See what he does. He has caused havoc for Patty Mills. He's not letting him get to his left hand. He's making him go right. He's guarding him on all backdoor cuts and speed cuts. He's just as good as it gets on defense. And a lot of guys, and you guys know where I'm going, a lot of guys, when they're not making shots, their defense suffers. He's not let that play into the equation. He's kept his game up at a top level. And, guys, I think the glass is a lot more than half full. He's going to get really rocking and rolling. Maybe after this fourth win here, maybe some time off, you know, just really getting a lot of time shooting. Maybe that'll really help him a lot. I think he's going to have a secret meeting with Rocco, his dog, and he's going to kick it into gear.
Get that man a toaster, right, Saint? A toaster will fix
everything. Absolutely.
He's the Saintly One, Gary St. Jean, with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Thank you, Saint. Enjoy the game tonight. We look forward to catching up with you again soon.
And tell Kalena to collect his money from Dibs because he kicked his butt at the Presidio. I got the scouting report.
You got it. We will be all over that. And thank you for making that public. We can turn that into a drop. We can use it against Dibs for the future.
I love it. My man, Dibs. See you, fellas.
All right, St. Lee, well, that's probably about enough for today.
How about St. with the drive-by on Dibs on his way out the door? Oh, by the way, I'm going to cut down Dibs, and then I'm going to go on with my great life.
Oh, you know, how great is it to get cut down by a guy like St. on a day like today? I feel like a lucky man, Joe.
I'll tell you what, Joe. That's right. No one cuts me down better than the St. does.
I'll tell you what. Kalena with nines and tens all day. He really took Dibs behind the woodshed. Oh,
wow. Now, how are you going to burn Kalena like that?
Shots fired.
You can't burn Kalena on your way. You're just going scorched earth right now.
Scorched earth.
What happened?
Dibs is like, what? No one? I thought that's what you did, Fortinball.
I thought we took shots at people, Joe.
I'm going to be the nice guy in this segment.
Trolls and shots.
That's only going to last a few seconds. I'm going to tell you what. This next segment, you want to know why losers lose? I'm going to tell you exactly why losers lose. That's coming up next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Bada boom, bada boom, bada boom.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Loser organizations do one thing exceedingly well. Better than anyone, perhaps. That's lose and act like losers. That's going to come up in a moment. But first, tickets to give away. This week, we got something special for you. Two tickets to JaVale McGee's charity softball game at the Coliseum. It's going to be Saturday, June 4th. Now, this is the third annual hashtag JugLife Foundation celebrity charity softball game. This benefits McGee's Foundation, which is aimed at promoting a healthy and active lifestyle by encouraging everyone to drink more water. Loneil, you're a big fan of consuming lots of water.
This is true.
You drink dirt water. This is just hashtag water, not dirt water. But still, water's water to an extent. You give me that look. What am I wrong? It's dirt water.
Black water.
Which is what? It's dirt.
Minerals.
From the?
Earth.
Synonymous with dirt.
Okay.
You know what, Fortinball, fine. Just leave me alone. I'll say.
You could have saved us 60 seconds if you just would have gone along with it. You know? You know how he is. You're drinking that dirt. You're right, Joe. It's dirt. But I digest.
And that ends the bit for me. I can only do so much.
That's
there.
Right.
All right.
That's
the doors are going to open at 1 p.m. for this game, Saturday, June 4th. Game starts at 2 p.m. Tickets start at $25. Can be purchased now at Ticketmaster.com. Tentatively scheduled to participate, Matt Barnes, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, good luck umpiring that game. Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, Zaza Pachulia, don't slide hard into him. You can't put him at second base or short. And Klay Thompson. This is a nice little event over there at the Coliseum. Nice little Saturday afternoon, Sunday, June 4th. Now, to win these two tickets, you're going to call 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570, and you're going to answer the following question correctly, which, by the way, if you don't know, now you know. On Facebook, every day on our page, we put up a hint. A video with a hint so you can get the leg up on the competition. Trivia question. In Sunday night's Game 3 loss to the Boston Celtics, how many points did LeBron James score over the final 16 minutes and 31 seconds? Hashtag troll. In Sunday night's Game 3 loss to the Boston Celtics, how many points did LeBron James score over the final 16 minutes and 31 seconds? 888-957-9570. All right, switching gears. Losing franchises lose for a variety of reasons, but the ultimate losers, the ones who lose year in and year out, are the ones who just don't get it. They have something good, perhaps great, and they don't know how to take care of it. They don't know how to nurture it. They don't know how to help it grow. This brings us to Calvin Johnson and the Detroit Lions. If you're wondering why the Lions haven't won a playoff game since 1991, here's one of the reasons. Over the weekend, Calvin Johnson, retired Lion, I think most of us would say one of the greatest Lions of all time.
No question.
One of the great receivers of all time. Johnson was holding, I believe, some sort of a football camp, and he was talking with a member of the Detroit Free Press. And the newspaper asked him about the possibility of his number 81 jersey being retired. It's something the franchise didn't do last season, nor did it honor him in any significant way. Didn't do anything for Calvin Johnson last year. Johnson responded that he doesn't like to talk about the Lions that much. Quote, I don't even like to talk Lions too much just because the way our relationship ended. If they see me around here, we'll see. But hey, I don't know. I just didn't feel like I was treated the way I should have been treated on the way out. That's all. I mean, it's all good. I'm not tripping. I don't feel any kind of way. Just, hey, that's what they did. Hey, it is what it is. What he's pretty much referring to is the fact that on his way out the door, because he was retiring, the Lions asked him to pay back some of his signing bonus, which under the collective bargaining agreement is completely within their right to do. Signing bonuses are prorated. For example, if you sign a 5-year contract with a $5 million signing bonus, that will count $1 million per year. 5 years, $5 million, $1 million per year. But a lot of times, the team pays the signing bonus up front. It counts against the cap for financial purposes as being prorated, but they might just pay you the entire amount up front. Well, that's what happened with Johnson here. And they wanted money back, the proration of the years he hadn't played. Completely within their right. So Johnson ended up paying them back about $320,000, which was one-tenth of the $3.2 million they could have collected. He paid back $320,000. As a result, he's not too happy with the organization. He doesn't like the fact that they came after him for this. It was their money. They had the right to it. So no one's arguing that. But this is how loser organizations go about their business. You have taken one of your all-time greats in Calvin Johnson, and because of this, 320 grand, which to most of us is a lot of money, but to the Lions and the Ford family is a drop in the bucket. It wasn't something that needed to be chased down. Now, Johnson no longer wants to be affiliated with the organization. Doesn't this sound eerily familiar to something that happened to another Lions great at the end of the 90s? Oh, that's right. They did this to Barry Sanders as well. Arguably the two greatest players in your franchise's history, you ran them off and they don't want any part of you. Now, put that in perspective with the Raiders and how they bring back open door policy for all the legends to come to training camp every year up in Napa. The fact that Lynch and Shanahan down in Santa Clara right now have an open door policy. They want a lot of the legends coming back into the fold, the Steve Youngs, the Jerry Rices. They want to welcome them back in. They want those guys around the property. Why wouldn't you? You want to foster that. You want more than anything else to show that you're not just a business, you're a family. And it helps when you try to recruit free agents to sign with your team when other teams are getting involved. You are located in Detroit. There aren't a whole lot of wealthy guys that'll choose Detroit over LA, San Diego when it was in existence, the Bay Area, Florida. It's just fact of life. Do you want to live in Detroit when you could live in Miami? Do you want to live in Detroit when you could live in Atlanta, Seattle, San Francisco, Oakland? That's the point. This is a loser franchise that has won one playoff game since 1991. That's the last time they won a playoff game. 91. They treat their legends like this, and then they wonder why things don't break their way. Lo, you used to play the game. The Lions are within their right here, but if you were in this situation, how peeved would you be if you're Megatron?
Yeah, he should be. Because when a guy has put that much into the organization, and here's a guy that's not trying to leave to go play elsewhere, but he's just saying, my body can no longer do it. You let him go and you don't ask for nothing back. This is like with certain guys, you see that certain teams do that with certain guys, a la the Marshawn Lynch. When you do certain things like that, it leaves a good taste in these guys' mouth. You want them around. They're recruiting chips. Not just that, they're legends. These are Hall of Famers. Barry Sanders, one of the greatest backs that ever played. When you run guys out of the league, or if a guy's body can no longer do it and you say, well, just give me the money back. I just think with guys like that, who's done so much for your organization, you don't go after him like that. You just don't do it.
Seattle with Marshawn Lynch could have gone after his money. They let him go. Tony Romo in Dallas. Jerry Jones said they were going to let him slide. You have every right to go collect every dollar, but that's not really what's at stake here. How many guys do you think would have a problem playing for Jerry Jones? Probably not many.
Yeah.
He takes good care of his players. Seattle takes good care of its players. Detroit, what's that message? Also, quick side note, JaVale McGee softball tournament, June 24th, not 4th. I misspoke. I apologize. June 24th, not 4th.
I'm available then. That's awesome. It's awesome news. If JaVale needs an umpire with some experience, a guy who's not afraid to make the tough calls.
Quick with the hook.
Oh, wow. That may be bad.
I'd love to see you in the diamond. You'd last about two pitches. Get out of here!
You know what? It might be a black-on-white crime that day. Because if you try to run me and you're going to talk about it. It's going to sit down. It's going to take a while.
I love it. Let's do it. Let's do this. Call JaVale. Call JaVale's people. Get Lo Knee out
yeah,
there short.
Hey, JaVale, 95.7 would like to add something to the mix. Black on white crime, as presented by Lo Knee. He'd love to add that to your charity softball game, hashtag Jug Life Foundation.
But I digest, as we like
you
to
do.
Say. Oh, you sure do. The financial mistake here is in trying to recoup this money from Calvin Johnson, and now the word gets out to all the other players in the league that this is how the Lions do it. So.
Right.
You may recoup a small piece of money in the short term, but in the long term, you're not going to get any of these free agents to go there, any of these Hall of Fame caliber players, because they're going to know that this is the way you're done on the way out. And these are legends. This isn't some middling running back, some guy who you've never heard of who leaves. This is two of your greatest players of all time.
You've had two legends since the early 90s, too. There are organizations that have been pumping legends out. You've had two. Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson both want nothing to do with you. Maybe at some point look in the mirror and realize you might be the problem. Why you don't contend for Super Bowls, why you haven't won a playoff game in 26 years. Maybe you're the problem. Maybe your approach to business, we want that money back. Well, you're within your right to get that money back. Seattle's not interested in getting the money back. Dallas isn't interested in getting the money back. Why are you? Why would you do that to Calvin Johnson? Maybe that's why you lose year in, year out. Quickly on a side note, also in the National Football League, quarterback Roch. Ryan Fitzpatrick has found himself a home. He will play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers next season.
Wow.
So another quarterback off the market before Colin Kaepernick low.
And got $3 million for the 1 year. It's really interesting to just watch the way these quarterbacks are finding jobs, and yet still Colin's still out there. And I take Colin over Fitzpatrick. I take him over a lot of guys as a number two or as a number three than a lot of these guys that are out here.
Dibs, it's almost the NFL with some first-rate trolling.
Yeah, it's, I mean, what are you going to do? Obviously, you look at distraction factors among your backup quarterback, and people are still afraid of what Colin Kaepernick might bring, from distractions to protests from your fan base or what. These are all things that are viable, apparently, in general manager's eyes, but to see Fitzpatrick get $3 million as a backup, you're Colin Kaepernick thinking, I'm better than him, and I'm not asking for much more than $3 million. I think eventually he will find a home, though.
How formidable are the Cavaliers after what you saw go down in Cleveland yesterday against the Boston Celtics? That, plus a Game 4 preview, Warriors and Spurs. It's all coming up in a minute. Don't go anywhere. Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.